With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
Such a dramatic intro. Hello, Keith.
Katie Atkinson. exciting post-Grammy day for both of us.
Indeed.
We will be talking about all that and more this week on the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, because this is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, like the Grammy Awards, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week on the show, we will be recapping our experience at the Grammy Awards this past Sunday. We were both there, and Katie got to talk to Adele, and I didn't.
NBD.
NBD?
No big deal.
Oh, right. Sorry. plus, we'll discuss Katy Perry's new single, Chain to the Rhythm, chart action about Big Sean and Lady Gaga, and so much more. Plus, we've got an interview with hitmaker Sean Paul, the dance hall superstar who topped the Billboard Hot 100 last year with Cheap Thrills alongside Sia, dropped by The Office recently to discuss his latest hit, No Lie, featuring Dua Lipa, how he has still yet to meet Sia, believe it or not, and how he's working on a new album that features everyone from Shakira and David Guetta to Migos and Ellie Goulding. We talk about all that and much more in our chat, so stay tuned for Sean Paul later on in the podcast. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions, you can tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And don't you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard? Visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. So, let's dive into the Grammy pool. Katie and I thought, instead of trying to like recap the entire day and spend like 3 hours rambling about the Grammys, we thought we would break this down into our top three moments of the whole sort of Grammy bonanza on Sunday.
Yes.
Katie's just nodding her head.
It's true. We did decide. This. We discussed it and we decided it.
Okay. I guess you don't have to rank them, but you can if you want to. Like, what was your number three pick or one of your three?
And yeah. Turns? I thought I'd start with my favorite performance of the night, okay. Actually. Which actually, I to say as my favorite performance is not quite right. It was my most pleasant surprise performance of the night. And that was Maren Morris and Alicia Keys.
That was really good.
It was so good. Like, they both killed it vocally. They both killed it fashion-wise. Alicia was rocking the most disco, low-cut, long-sleeve jumpsuit. And Maren was wearing, like, a sequined lounging robe over a leotard and tights and high heels. It was just, like, they looked like they were coming from the same place, wherever they were coming from. And they just, they killed it, and they sounded amazing together, and I did not realize this until after the show, that they had actually recorded a CMT Crossroads together, and that's what inspired the collaboration on Sunday night, and Maren Morris actually talked about it in the press room, that she and Alicia kind of discussed when they did the Crossroads performance that how close soul and country can be, like how much it makes sense together, and I have to say they, you know, totally proved that.
Actually, I talked to Maren Morris on the red carpet at the Grammys, and she talked about Alicia Keys, and I asked about what was some of, like, the good advice that Alicia's given her, and she was like, well, you know, she just said, basically, like, don't let the moments pass you by, try to take it all in, and get up early each day, because there's a lot to accomplish, and you don't want to be like, you know, you want to make sure you get it all in, and you know, it was pretty good, sensible advice.
Absolutely.
I think one of my three favorites things, and this is just sort of random, but on the red carpet, I covered the red carpet for Billboard, and we had many opportunities to talk to lots of fabulous folks. But one of the people that I was particularly jazzed to talk to was Herb Alpert. Herb Alpert is a music industry icon. He's one half of A&M Records. Mm-hmm. Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss founded A&M Records. And of course, A&M Records brought us records and releases for everyone from Janet Jackson, like Control and Rhythm Nation, to Sting's output in the 80s and beyond. Sheryl Crow's albums were on A&M Records. Mm-hmm. So it's just sort of legendary to talk to him. And so I had a conversation with him on the red carpet, and I said to him, you know, on my way to work each day, I pass a school that has your name on it. Mm-hmm. And I asked him about the importance of sort of giving back. And he really had a lot of eloquent things to say, and he sort of talked about kind of like the time that we're in right now and how important it is to really kind of, you know, take
support
a stand
the
and
arts.
Support the arts, and also, you know, like, you know, talk to your representatives and like, mm-hmm. take a stand. So that was one of my like three favorite things from yesterday.
Absolutely.
Your turn.
My number two moment is the entire Knowles family.
Ah, sure.
Decided to just lump them all together. I mean, Tina introduced Beyonce on stage. Solange won her first Grammy for, let me get this right, she won for Best R&B Performance for Cranes in the Sky. Beyonce obviously won two Grammys, maybe not the big ones that her fans were like super hoping for.
She now has a total of 22 Grammy Awards.
Yeah, I think she's doing okay for herself. She won for Best Music Video for Formation and Best Urban Contemporary Album for Lemonade, which the press room definitely was buzzing. We realized that one wasn't going to be given out during the premiere ceremony, the pre-tell ceremony. Because it was like, huh, they're giving that out during the main show, which means they maybe aren't giving a different album prize to Beyonce.
Right.
And you never know. I mean, the Grammys have their ways, but it definitely, like, raised eyebrows.
They were hedging their bets.
Hedging their bets. And, I mean, even Blue Ivy, like, crashed the carpool karaoke in the audience dressed like Prince.
Right.
Jay-Z and Beyonce both put out a song during the Grammys with DJ Khaled called Shining. And Beyonce and Jay-Z both danced their asses off to the Prince tribute, specifically Morris Day and the Time. It was amazing. That was like such a great crowd shot to see them just, you know, like these are like very famous people who are very respectful at awards shows. And they were like, screw it, it's Prince and the Time and we're going to be dancing right
yeah.
now. So I just and obviously I didn't even mention Beyonce's performance was resplendent. It was such an amazing celebration of her pregnancy. And I don't know if you saw the article on Billboard.com that Vanessa Williams tweeted about it. Vanessa performed at the 1993 Grammys and was basically told to keep her baby bump under wraps. She was almost 8 months pregnant. And you watch it back on YouTube and she's wearing a very flowy, forgiving gown. And they do a lot of close-up shots on her face. And she basically tweeted, you know, how times have changed, because all of a sudden there's this performance that not only is the performer clearly pregnant, but it's a celebration of her pregnancy.
So when Vanessa Williams showed up to the Grammy Awards that year, did she just like not go onto the red carpet? Did she not make it known, or was she just like,
I mean,
yes, we know you're pregnant, but we don't want to show that on camera?
It was different times as far as like red carpet coverage goes too, I would imagine.
True.
You know what I mean? Like it wasn't 24 hours. It wasn't Twitter. It wasn't like everybody paying attention to every,
I mean, I remember when, Madonna, because I have to make it all about Madonna, but I just, you know, whatever. When she was pregnant with her first child, mm-hmm. This was right before her film Evita was about to come out, and she had to film a music video for the first single from the album. And she was like 8-7 months pregnant, and they had to film a video because that's just what you did back mm-hmm. in 1996. And so they filmed it where she was sitting behind a piano.
Exactly. This is, I mean, you look back through time, we're actually trying to come up with examples of pregnant performances in light of Beyonce performing at the Grammys and performing potentially at Coachella. And you can't find a lot of them, especially not from previous to like a decade ago.
Right.
You know, pop stars aren't supposed to be pregnant.
Yeah.
Like they don't get pregnant. They just, you know, babies just happen.
Babies
children
just happen. one of my three sort of highlights of the day, and there will probably be more that I'm just not thinking of, was, and this is Beyonce related, it's Beyonce adjacent, was Adele's acceptance speech mm-hmm. at the end of the night when she won for Album of the Year for 25, beating Justin Bieber's Purpose, Drake's Views, Sergio Simpson's A Sailor's Guide to Earth, and Beyonce's Lemonade. And Adele made a very eloquent speech saying how she couldn't really accept the award, though she probably has technically accepted it, because Beyonce is just her world, and Lemonade
her
was
queen.
Was just a Titanic record to her, and I just thought it was, when you win over an artist that you feel should have won instead, mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, you know, and it was heartfelt, and it was truly heartfelt, because we saw what Adele then later said regarding her passion for Beyonce and how she's been a Beyonce stan since she was like 10 or 11.
11, yeah.
So I thought that was just a really great moment, and I thought it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful, and it was real and true, and it was just everything you want from, like Adele just talking about something that she believes in, and Beyonce had she had one little tear out of
one
the side of her.
One beautiful single tear.
Of course, because that's exactly the way Beyonce rolls. It was like her body just works that way. It's like one singular beautiful
tear. One tear.
Anyway, back to you.
Well, that was a beautiful segue, because obviously my top moment of the night was being in Adele's presence in the press room. As Keith mentioned at the top of the show, Adele, after winning her 5 Grammys, came back and spoke to reporters backstage. And she actually did this also when she won for 21, when Keith was in the room. And so I had an idea that she might, because I knew that there was a precedent for it. And sure enough, like, I caught sight of her on her way in, and we had microphones set up in the press room, and I immediately beelined for one of those microphones, because I knew I wanted that opportunity to ask one of the questions, and got to ask Adele a question.
What did you ask her?
Oh, I asked her, because the first question had been about her big night, her album of the year win, etc. I asked her about her George Michael tribute, her other performance of the night. She opened the show with Hello, and then she performed Fast Love by George Michael, while an amazing visual presentation went above her of videos and photos of George Michael. And so I asked her, what it meant to her to be able to pay tribute to George Michael and for some of her earliest memories of him.
Right.
Which then she quipped, because she's Adele and she's adorable and hilarious, you know, we might be here all day about, like, coming up with memories of George Michael. So anyway, she was gracious. She's answered questions for, I think, 12 plus minutes in the press room. I mean, typically, like, people would have been pumped if she'd done one question.
Yeah, it was like, what, 4?
She answered 4 questions.
But
so
with really incredibly long answers.
Yes. We were averaging 3 minutes an answer.
She started off this press room chat by saying, you know, I don't do interviews, so, you know.
And she left the room by saying, like,
am I
you
done?
Know, yeah, no, it was like, count your blessings, you'll never see me again.
At the Grammys, probably, after tonight.
We'll see.
So both Katie and I have now talked to Adele in a press room scenario, which is probably the way that most people will now ever speak to her.
Ever have a chance, yes.
Because she just doesn't do interviews.
Yeah.
And the year that I actually talked to her was not the year of 21. It was, I think, the following year.
Oh, when she performed, was it the Bond theme?
She didn't perform on the show that year.
Oh, okay.
She was there, and she was in that red dress, and she won the first award of the night for Best Pop Vocal Performance, and she won for the live version of Set Fire to the Rain. And she was there basically to present Album of the Year at the end of the night, but then like a month later she performed at the Academy Awards for Skyfall, where she won the Academy Award. And she came to the press room, and they told us that, you know, we would get to talk to Adele, and they're like, better make them good questions, who has good questions? And I was like, me. And they're like, are you sure? Like, don't waste our time. And so when she came in, I think the first question was from me. And I said, you know, how far along are you with on the next album, which would eventually become 25?
Yeah.
And she was like, not really. Just working on lullabies for my kid right now. So that's fun. And I'm just, you know, so yeah.
Continuing a pop shop tradition.
Yes. Well, my top sort of Grammy moment of the day was being able to participate in the red carpet again. I wasn't inside the press room. I wasn't inside the building. I was outside on the carpet. My day started at like 7:30 in the morning when I got up, and I had to be at the venue site at 9 in the morning to get makeup done. I had to be on the carpet at 11 o'clock. The carpet opened at noon, and we were recording interviews until 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And for 2 hours of that, we were doing a live show. For the first time, we were doing a full-on, proper, professional live broadcast, like a Grammy pre-show, from the red carpet, where we were on Twitter if you went to, and Twitter was promoting it, if you went to like Grammys.twitter.com, like it was like the Twitter pre-show. I had people on Twitter saying, oh my God, I'm seeing Keith on like Twitter.
Right.
Like, and it was on Facebook.
People just stumbling on it because it was everywhere.
Without even being like told by me. Yeah. And so it was just, it was, I was very happy that Billboard asked me to be part of it. And I got to hang out with our sort of hip hop guru from New York, Adele Platon, who came out and worked with me on the carpet. And the OG pop shopper, Jason Lipschitz. And Chelsea Briggs were keeping it, you know, holding it down at the Grammy Museum. Mm-hmm. So the four of us were kind of the talking heads. It was just, you kind of felt like I was having like a Ryan Seacrest, Juliana moment.
Yeah.
In a very tiny, small way. So it was just cool. And so, yeah, those were some of our highlights.
It's a great Grammys. That the show was great.
Yeah. So speaking of Grammys, one of last night's performances was of Katy Perry's brand new single, Chained to the Rhythm. The single just came out last Friday, and it is a great chance of debuting in the top 10 on next week's Billboard Hot 100 chart. What do we think of the song? The song is Katy Perry, Max Martin, Sia, and Ali Payami co-written affair. Okay. And
featuring Skip Marley,
who also wrote his verse, mm-hmm. his guest rap. What do you think of the song, Katie?
I really love the beat a lot. I think that's my favorite aspect of the song.
It reminds me of Katy Perry's, Taylor Swift's Style. It has that, the one that sounds...
Like a reggae version of Style?
Like it has that sort of like, the synths remind me of the 80s.
Okay, yeah.
There's a synthy part that reminds me of the 80s from Style.
That's my favorite part of the song. And I think, I commend this new era of Katy Perry. As our colleague Jason wrote on Billboard.com, it's her woke pop era.
And then Katy Perry then tweeted back to Jason saying, I call it...
purposeful pop?
Purposeful pop.
Right?
Thank you for that save.
You know, she's clearly, like, you know, got super politically involved last year and was like, I need to make music with a message. And this is, like, just a clear message. And obviously, watching her Grammy performance... She continued the message and the imagery and the, you know, everything. So, yeah. Like the first time I heard it, I felt a little like scolded by the lyrics. Like if I'm just, you know, losing myself to this song, then I'm being like a mindless zombie a little bit. So I'm not sure if that was her intention, or just to make me think maybe from a pop song, which it did. I'm like reserving full on judgment, but I think it's a pretty good song. What do you think?
I like it better than Rise.
Oh, goodness. Me too.
Which was Katy Perry's last single. And it was a song that was written for the Olympics.
Yes.
So we're not calling it a single, but it sort of was. I like it a lot. I do feel it's a sort of a tinge preachy. But I think it works as just like a pop song that you can get behind where it's not too beat you over the head.
Mm-hmm.
I like the beat. I think the way it's produced is very cool. It mm-hmm. makes it sound like you're almost like dialing across the radio because it has that sort of like FM frequency like mm-hmm. bit where you feel like you're tuning into something.
The distortion
mm-hmm. effect. And she also sings about singing, mm-hmm. you know, dancing to the distortion, mm-hmm. which I guess was
probably... To the distortion.
Distortion.
That's how she says it.
I think I love the lyric video with the hamster being fed.
Yes, the hamster video is fun.
By sort of the hand from God above.
And I like the Skip Marley verse. I like that we have a new Marley.
Yeah. And by the way,
this, have a new Marley.
This is from, of course, the famous Bob Marley family where everyone...
His grandson.
So who is Skip Marley's father? Mm. Do we know?
Solid question.
Was it like a Damian Marley or one of those? I wonder which Marley it is. Because this is Skip Marley's first chart entry is Chained to the Rhythm. And, of course, the Marley family, everyone from Damian Jr. Dong to, I mean... A million Marleys.
The answer to the question is he is the son of Bob Marley's daughter, Sedalia Marley.
Oh. I don't think Sedalia has charted.
And Skip's only 20 years old. He's a youngin'.
Super young.
Yeah.
Like Kehlani Marley has charted. I mean,
he got signed, or his signing was announced to Island Records like a week before the Katy Perry song came out.
Yeah, and he has his own separate single as well.
I believe it's called Lions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think this has the makings of being a hit. Now, will this politicalness sort of bite her in the butt.
Eh, I don't think so.
I mean, she could be like, you know, Taylor Swift and just not address sort of politics in any sort of fashion. But I think, you know, after supporting and campaigning for Hillary Clinton last year, Katie's just like, well, it's pretty clear who I'm supporting.
Mm-hmm.
And
she made them. I remember right after the election, she put up that Instagram post, long caption, lot of thought from her talking about how she's not going to just shut up and sing. You
right.
know, that's her intention is to, you know, send a message.
Yeah. Well, let's do some chart chat. We mentioned just briefly about how it seems like Katy Perry could hit the top 10 on the Hot 100 next week. Don't hold me to that. I mean, anything can happen. But it seems like it's off to a very good start. It seems to be in a really good place right now. I don't have specific numbers for you, but look for that on Billboard.com. On the charts this week, on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Big Sean scores his second number one album, As I Decided, not to be confused with the Solange song, debuts atop the list with 151,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending February 9th, according to Nielsen Music. Now, 74,000 of those units were driven by streams, which equals 111 million streams of songs from the album last week. It's the second week where we've had an album really driven by streams after Migos' album a mm-hmm. week ago. It's just the way of the world. As Earth, Wind, and Fire might say. Also in the top 10 on the Billboard 200, two of Lady Gaga's albums come roaring back. Her most recent effort, Joanne, zooms from number 66 to number 2 with an 818% gain in units, rising to 74,000 units earned for the week. And her debut set, The Fame, re-enters at number 7 with 38,000 units, up 986%. Both albums bask in the glow of her Super Bowl halftime performance on February 5th, which also spurs a re-entry for her Born This Way album at number 25 and Art Pop at number 174. Speaking of Gaga, she also jumps back onto the Hot 100 at number 4, re-entering with the Joanne single Million Reasons, which she sang during her halftime show. That gives Lady Gaga her 14th top 10 single.
Look at that.
Yep. That was a lot of me talking there. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all. And we should say that Ed Sheeran's Shape of You
still number
is
one.
Number one again.
Still number one. Thank you for that save. I was like, oh, by the way, number one, still Ed Sheeran. Which he performed on the Grammys, so who
and
knows.
And performed on SNL, too. Double whammy this weekend, so.
I hear
probably,
he's popular.
Yeah, very popular. You know, I was actually, not to like get off on a slight tangent. But
there's a tangent.
When I watched the SNL performance, I was really surprised to see he played with a full band because I've seen him in tour before.
It's only just him.
He usually just does his own thing. And I was like, man, I really like when he does his own thing, which then obviously at the Grammys, he quintessentially did his own thing
his own
loop pedal, etc. And maybe he just didn't want to ruin the Grammy performance.
Maybe not. Well, now it's time for our guest interview with Sean Paul. Sean Paul has earned 17 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, including 4 number ones, one of which he achieved last year with his featured turn on Sia's Grammy Award-nominated Cheap Thrills. Since then, he's claimed another top 40 hit with a guest spot on Clean Bandit's Rockabye and is gaining steam with his own new song, No Lie, featuring Dua Lipa. Sean Paul recently came by the office to talk about his upcoming new album, which has a bevy of guest stars lined up on it, working with Sia and how he's somehow still never met her, how the song No Lie came together, and also how this is the 15th anniversary of the release of his breakthrough single, Gimme the Light. And he also talks about his thoughts on how things have changed so much in the industry and also in just sort of his professional career in the ensuing 15 years. So, here is our interview with the one and only Sean Paul. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast, Sean Paul.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
You've had an incredible, like, 12 months.
Yes, sir.
In the past 12 months, you've collaborated on hit singles with Clean Bandit, Little Mix, and, of course, Sia and others. Mm-hmm. You've signed a new deal with Island Records.
Yes, sir.
You got your 4th number one single on the Billboard Hot 100.
Crazy.
And you earned a Grammy Award nomination.
Yes, it's been a lot.
Not too bad.
Good year.
it's been a crazy year last year, like, in terms of... so much things happening for me, And personally, I'm about to have my first child.
That's congratulations.
Thank you. So
my wife is about to have her first child. So.
She's doing a lot of the heavy lifting there.
Yeah, she is. And I'm really catching a glimpse of, you know, what it takes. And it's a lot. So that's happening. And then all of these singles kind of popped off. You know, I do music like I just do songs. And some of them pop off and some of them don't. Mm-hmm. You never know when it's going to, like, take life.
Yeah,
and some of them come out and they're slow starters, and you know, last year a couple of them just kind of got into earshots of the club or the radio and just took it to as we see her went to number one. So
yeah,
big up to her and to Clean Bandits and everyone who's had me working with them. It's been a phenomenal year, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, well, I want to talk about your new single if we can.
Yes,
No Lie, featuring Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
You know, it came out late last year, and it's already a big hit in the UK.
Yes, sir.
And in Europe. And now it's just starting to, like, pop off in America, and radio stations are really starting to embrace it.
Yeah.
I know it's a cliche question, but how did the song come about?
Well, I was in the studio and trying to find stuff and working with a new producer that I've never worked with before. His name is Serm Style. He's from Liverpool, England.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, this is going to be interesting to hear what this kid has. And he came with straight dancehall, and it was amazing to me.
You're like, well, this is perfect.
Yeah, I actually ended up doing 7 songs with him.
Oh, wow.
So one of these songs was this one. It's written by me and Emily Warren. And Emily is just a great, talented singer-songwriter. And, you know, I've written quite a few songs with her, too. You know, one problem I have with her is that she sounds too good. So I didn't want to take her off of it. But
is she the one that sings on the new Chainsmokers
song?
I was gonna say, like, I know her name.
Her voice is amazing. Yeah. Bro. You should. There's so much songs that I have sitting down with her, and I almost don't want to put people on it. with this one, we definitely planned that, you know, we wanted to get you know someone fresh in the business and whatnot. And Dua is definitely fresh, and I knew one or two songs from her, and I liked her, and I liked her from the get-go because she's beautiful, but also I never really checked her voice out as much as I thought I did, and when I heard her, I was like, yeah, let's try her on it, and she sounded amazing. We did the video the other day, and we were getting ready to play a couple different shows together and stuff.
Nice.
It's been good.
She's striking. She's beautiful.
Striking.
And she has an amazing voice.
Yeah, man.
It's like she has, like, the sort of the whole package where she's glamour and she looks like a supermodel, and she can
exactly.
also sing the daylights out of everything.
She's walking in the video and she's just strutting it like
exactly.
I'm modeling. I'm like, damn. And I just heard a song today too.
You look pretty great in the video too.
Thank you.
You strut around just
I
you know just as well.
I try. But also the I heard a song she did with Martin Garrix.
Yeah.
Where she's belting in that song. She's really, like, taking it places where I didn't think she could. So, great choice on our, not to pat my back, but, I mean, she really, I think, added so much more to the single.
You know, we were talking about, we just talked about Emily Warren,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you know what you could do? Not that I'm trying to A&R your record, but, you know, you could... if one of the tracks has a feature with a woman on it,
yeah.
like, you know, a forthcoming song,
yeah.
you could have it, you know, Sean Paul featuring that known name, like a Dua Lipa,
mm-hmm.
and Emily Warren, if they're both in the mix somewhere, perhaps.
Actually, you know? I think I would like to leave her on one, especially.
Yeah.
It's so dope, the way she has done it. And her vocals are just out there. Like, a lot of people have tried the songs, and you're like, oh, man, it doesn't compare to him. So yeah, big up to her.
Yeah,
I'm loving what's happening for her right now, and you're considering to just put it out too, the other song.
So will No Lie be on a new album, perhaps?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, is that the plan?
I'm trying to put it together. Like, you know, I've done a whole. I was independent artist for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so I did a lot of songs, which I'm giving you some of the stuff. On CD.
Sean gave us a promo CD.
Yeah.
There we go.
CD. An actual CD.
An actual CD.
Which a lot of people don't know what to do with right now. But it's old school. It's my whole tactic back in the day. And, you know, I just keeping myself back on that grind. A lot of people can. Hey, kids, if you don't have a CD player, put it in the PlayStation.
Yeah. It still works.
Check it out. But Yeah, I have so much songs. So, you know, it was, I did a lot of work then when I was an independent artist. And then now the deal that I took with Island was just a great relationship from the start. It never felt like something that I would not enjoy.
Right.
And that's what it's about for me. I really love all the accolades and everything I get, but I want to feel happy while doing the music. I want to put that same feeling like when I was 14, I went to my first little block party and was dancing and, you know, it playing loud music. It was amazing to me. And so I try to put that back in. And when the red tape gets involved, it just makes me, like, not love it no more. And so, you know, I reached to the point where I was an independent artist that did a lot of songs. And, yeah, so there is an album coming out this year. I featured so much people on it. Big up to Shakira, who's on the album.
Nice.
David Guetta Production, big up to him. And everybody's doing dancehall. I mean, everybody that I've worked with. It's not like, you know, Afrojack's also dance, but he gave me a dancehall track. And I think a lot of people are merging right now with that sound, so it's pretty cool what's happening, and I'm loving it. Big up to Wizkid, who's on the album, and Migos, who's on the album. Ellie Goulding came through for me finally.
Dang,
man.
Yeah. It's you know, I got so much songs too that I'm feeling that some of them I'm gonna stream them as like just a special, you know, for people who are more interested in just my whole career and mm-hmm. not just the hits that might make it to the general public.
Right.
So there's a lot of other songs that will be available for people to stream like that too. So.
And, you know, you mentioned a million collaborators there. How do you decide to do a collaboration or feature? How do you pick who you're going to put on a song? How does that whole thing come together?
I mean, because you've worked with everyone from Beyonce and Simple Plan to Major Lazer and Little Mix and, like, the Saturdays.
Across the board.
It's, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
I think dancehall is a very versatile music. Our people are mixed a lot, and it just means it's second nature to me to just mix it up. It's our food is like that, and our music is like that. And so, yeah, I mean, even back in the days, you know, Bob Marley was influenced by Curtis Mayfield, by a foreign song, something he wasn't hearing at home. And it's the same thing with myself. I kind of hear influences from other things, and so it's just easily put together. For everyone who's ever worked with me, they've all taught me some stuff, even just about myself. Like, you know, artists are some of the most patient people. We may seem like a lot of people see them as divas and people in bands as you know, just they deal with a lot. It's constant, you know, putting on pause your personal things that you want to do, and for a greater cause of the music. And sometimes you're on stage, you hear bad news, and the show goes on. No one knows about that. And so I mean, even to be the patient one, to hear, sift through 17 rhythms, find that one, kind of get lyrics from wherever in the universe it falls into your head, and the melodies, and put it all together, just so that people could have that feeling that you feel. That's a very patient process. And yeah. So, you know, just big up to everybody who does that. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of perks and flashiness and whatnot, but I like the process a lot in terms of creating and just being on stage after that.
You mentioned Bob Marley, and I think it's, and there isn't really a question here. I just think it's fitting that you're now on Island Records.
Yeah,
which is,
actually.
The home of Bob Marley.
Yeah, yeah. People said it. That just feels good at home.
It feels right.
Yeah, and it does to me too. And they've been treating me amazingly. So big up to them.
Well, I have to ask about your feature on CS Cheap Thrills. I mean, I know everyone asks you about that, but come on, it's a huge,
it's crazy.
Hit. You know, it gave you your fourth number one on the Hot 100 chart, and it earned you a Grammy Award nomination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you hear about collaborations where the artists had never met before.
Yeah.
Had you met Sia before they asked you?
No, she's one of them that we'd never met. I just, you know, got an email saying, would I consider to do a song with Sia? I was like, who's going to ask me if I consider? Of course, I'm a fan of her. My mom's a fan of her. To tell the truth, my mom put me on to Sia, which she she barely schools me on music nowadays. You know, she taught me as a kid, and I learned, you know, her. She loved the Beatles. I love the Beatles. She loved Neil Diamond. I love some of his songs.
I love some of his songs.
No, but big up Neil Diamond. I mean, all of the music that she schooled me on then and taught me. I thought now that I'm the kid. I got this now. I got music. And she's like, yeah, you know Sia, right? And I'm like, no, what? Who? What? If I know what? She's like, Sia. I mean, and I thought she meant Psy, that guy who thinks the Gangnam Style. Or something.
Oh, Psy, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, you talking different. About Psy? And she's like, no, I'm talking about Sia. And she told me the song. I was like, oh, I know that song, Chandelier, but I just didn't know who sang it. I actually thought it was Rihanna because there was a whole part in time where she was writing songs for Rihanna and kind of sounded the same. And it was... she schooled me, and I was like, wow, that's cool. And my niece loves her. And so when I got this email, I was like, duh. Yeah, bro, I'll do this song. And being dancehall-oriented song, I was so proud of that. And, you know, she's amazing. To me, when I first wanted to start in the biz, I thought that, you know, it's uncomfortable for me being an uptown kid. And the music I do is really from the ghetto. So people was like, you know, it would blow their mind. They would be like, why is he doing that? Even my mom's friends are like, what is he doing? Like, it didn't match to them. And, I thought that I was going to be someone who just did these songs and, like, stayed in the background and no one knew who it was. And because I thought I sounded so authentic and so good. You know, and so when it's time for people to be just like, give him the mic, I was just like, yo, this is nuts. So it kind of took off from there. I lost my train of thought, what I was going to say. I'm sorry. But I was talking about, Sia. And so I thought that back in then, I was going to be like how she is now in terms of a lot of kids don't know her face. Yep. You can Google her face.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah.
You know, but people a lot ask me, how does she look under there? And I'm like, I don't know, you know.
Google.
She did send me flowers when we got the number one. And it was shocking to me because I didn't know she had never had a number one. No. I thought Chandelier went to number one. I thought Titanium went to number one. Just big up to her and thank you for having me on the single. I always thank her. And it's an inspiration to see that, to see her be like, I want to be normal. Although I am... the huge person I am right now to people, but I want to be who I am, so I want to keep that part.
Yeah,
and that's amazing to me.
Now, have you met her since then? Though? You
never met her.
You still haven't met her.
No, maybe the Grammys.
I've already heard she ain't going
to
the Grammys.
Yeah,
and
we both hold.
I would have liked to have gone, but my son is supposed to be born about the same time.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that I keep my fingers crossed that we do win. And I wish I could be there.
We'll accept on your behalf.
Yeah, we'll be there. Yeah. So we can go up there during the telecast and grab it for you.
And big us up.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Crazy. Actually, you know, you've been talking about your, like, all the people you've worked with, and this is the 15th anniversary this year of the release of your breakthrough hit, Give Me the Light. I mean, you've been doing this for a while.
15 years.
Yes. Which was your first Hot 100 hit, too. What do you think has kind of changed the most in the industry from when you first broke through to now?
Oh, when I did those songs, it was reel-to-reel tape. I don't know if people know what that is, but it's like 24-track tape. So you had only 24 tracks. Now with Pro Tools, you have millions of tracks.
Right.
So you could actually overproduce it. But back in those days, you know, especially in the dancehall world, you didn't want to waste the track, so you had to know the song. So the main difference then was that it was almost like, okay, go. And you had to
be on.
Be on the whole song, and then you do the backups after. Now it's like, how I write now is way different. I'm like, I spit three lines, freestyle, and I stop. And then so it's more creative in that way in terms of it's not something that I'm sitting down writing, but like I'm coming up with it on the moment, so I like it. So there's differences, but definitely back then it prepared me to just be on. When someone went here with the mic, I was like, oh, okay. And you take it to that place, and you just definitely just put out. So that's the main difference for me, technology.
Yeah.
We didn't have Twitter back then. We didn't have you know, none of these things. And my main way to get heard was to go to barbecues and give out these tapes or actually get on the radio in Jamaica and in other places. And so, and then TV.
Yeah.
And that was big with videos.
Oh, I mean, I remember seeing Give Me the Light on MTV when it first came out and just being like, who is this guy? Like, that's where I was introduced to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the same way I met Alicia Keys. I was struck by her beauty.
Fallen.
You know, yeah.
Yep.
That song. And it was, I didn't hear the voice because it was turned down. The TV was in the kitchen. And I'm just like, and I look up, I'm like, who is that beautiful girl? And then I turned it up and I fell in love with her voice and the soul of her. And yeah, but so that was a way back in the days to get your stuff out there. And now there's so much different ways. Yeah. Facebook, you know, there was MySpace, there, the Instagram, the Twitter.
By the time
Snapchat.
This interview airs, there'll be some new thing.
I have not gotten on Snapchat myself. And people are like, oh, that's almost done. Like, you know, we got the next thing. And I'm like, whoa. Somebody introduced me to something yesterday where you could call people and there's eight people in the talk chat. But you see them, like, you see the camera.
It's like a FaceTime with eight people or something?
Yeah, it's FaceTime with eight different people. So I was like, and then everybody's like, yo, shut up. He's saying something. Right. Yo, you shut up. It's ridiculous.
There's a reason you don't need to talk to eight people at once.
It's like the worst conference call possible.
Yeah. No. But yeah, I'm getting used to some of the technology, and that's the main difference for me in my business. Like what I have to do involves a lot more technical stuff. I'm like, you know, even to take a picture with your phone now, you have to have like a computer degree now. Like, oh wait, hold on, this is a Samsung. Yeah, you do this and you do that. So yeah.
Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Much success to you in the next year with all the new music and the new album. And just,
keep going.
Keep going. Keep doing it.
Thank you. A producer said to me in the beginning, you know, I'm going to be here 30 years with my music, and you're an artist. You probably won't be. And I guess that just gave me
that was a challenge.
A fire. Yeah. And so thank you to the fans and thank you to you guys for the accolades and thanks for having me here.
Thank you.
Thank you again to the amazing and fabulous Sean Paul for coming to the office. He was just a hoot and really great to talk to. And
I just did some last minute research here on my computer. He, according to the internet, has not had his baby yet.
Oh, great.
I mean, the reason he did not attend the Grammys is because his wife is due like right now. So TBD.
Wow. Well, yeah. We're sending Sean Paul and his family.
His wife, Jody.
Positive vibes. Positive dancehall vibes. any parting words? I think we're almost done with the show here, Katie. Any parting words? Anything to go out on here?
I just have to say I'm pumped about back-to-back pop shops, Kelly Clarkson, then Sean Paul. I'm loving this lineup of guests we've had lately.
It's all downhill from here. We have no one lined
up. Actually, that's not true. We have so many people lined up, and they're great.
We've got a boatload of a cavalcade of stars are just waiting to be on the pop shop. What song should we go out on? I have an idea.
Ooh,
of one.
Please,
Sean. Well, no, I was gonna. I'm gonna. Sean Paul's Temperature.
Why not?
Because I was afraid that we were going to use it during his interview, but we're not.
Well, now we're not going to. We're going to go on it right now.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Well, I'm on the way this time. Cool, I want to be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm.